following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxie bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No. Ah, Lawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Do we press all the right buttons?
I think we're live out in Forcecast land. Today, finally.
Can they hear us?
Oh. I hope everybody can hear us.
Oh, I can hear you.
That's the right. Important thing. As long as you and I can hear each other, we're fine.
That is, you know, in the big scheme of things, that really is all that matters. Greetings, Star Wars fans. Welcome to the Forcecast, the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Proud to be so. Happy to be with you this week's episode for October 26th, 2007. We're getting awfully close to Halloween time.
That we are. It's a little bit scary, a little bit.
You know what I'm finding is I really want to go back to... I wish I wasn't so old.
Yeah.
Because I'm not able to enjoy the holidays like I used to. The time goes so fast. Like, I used to, you know, I'd have like certain... you know, movies and stuff that I'd want to watch for, you have your Christmas movies. I always had, you know, like my Halloween movies that I wanted to watch and things like that. And I mean, we're almost a week. We're a week away. Exactly. And I haven't watched anything.
Right. The funny thing is that Star Wars was the holiday movie for every single holiday.
You know, when I most got into the Star Wars, two times a year, I really get in the mood for Star. Well, I mean, all the time I'm in the mood for Star Wars.
Right.
To really sit down and watch all the movies. Springtime.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the you know
that when May time of year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you crank open the windows and you start getting a breeze in at night, I want to come in and I want to watch after work. I want to put in one of the Star Wars movies because that's I guess we've been conditioned over the last 10 years to think about the new movie coming out every spring, and then also Christmas. I would always get like the latest box set usually for Christmas, and so I'd spend all Christmas Day watching the movies. So. Anyway, well, that was a bit of a tangent. I do have to ask you, though, I mean, in all seriousness, how's the house?
It is coming down in pieces, as it were.
No better?
No. Well, it's getting better, but, for anybody who didn't tune in last week, I was kind of a little bit cryptic about it. So what happened was I sprung a leak in my upstairs bathroom, and it leaked through the walls and down into the kitchen and down into the basement, and mass chaos erupted afterwards. So at this point, they had all these blowers and dryers in there trying to dry the walls and stuff like that. And
the professional cleanup.
The professional guys. Yeah, they came in and they had their, expensive blowers and all these things that they stuck in the wall to suck the water out. And so after about 5 days, they said, things aren't really drying that well. So we're going to take your walls and ceiling off.
Oh, jeez.
So that was a little bit of a little surprise when I came home at one point and there was just nothing in my kitchen except for the floor.
Wow.
And everything goes, and this is my big plug for insurance. If you don't have it, make sure you do because you never know what's going to happen around the corner. And my insurance company has been great so far. So
unreal. Unbelievable.
So no, that's where we're at. So.
It's unthinkable.
That you have no...
For the next 5 weeks...
No walls, no ceiling.
That's the unthinkable story of the week for the next 5 weeks. And I'm just going to go, my house, next story.
It's amazing how much damage a little bit of water will
have. Well, and it looked like somebody had dropped a garden hose in my bathroom and just left it on.
Hey, so. Speaking of damage, exactly. We wanted to... thank our sponsor, of course, Official Picks. Officialpicks.com, your source for the official Star Wars autographs and photographs. We had Anthony Daniels, a clip of him last week, talking about all the phony ones out there. So you don't have to worry about that with Official Picks. But some bad news. The Mark Hamill signing has been postponed due to all the fires out in California. It's our understanding that the Hamills are safe. However, Mark and his wife, according to a story over at Yahoo News. Mark Hamill and his wife are packed and ready to go should the siren sound. That is per the actor's rep. So certainly our best wishes to the Hamill family and, of course, all the folks in the out there that are facing all those terrible fires. I have an uncle out there, actually, but he's a little above the fires. He's in Big Bear, so...
Big Bear.
Big Bear. So I think he's doing okay. But no, this is crazy. I mean, close to 1 million people evacuated.
And yeah, it is.
Just not the ranch. Not the ranch.
You see devastation like that, it almost is so surreal because you can't imagine it happening.
Yeah, come to the Midwest. We've got plenty of water and no earthquakes.
Some flooding.
A little bit of flooding, but it's otherwise, well, in your house. But otherwise, it's a great place to be. But anyway, they will be postponing the Mark Hamill autograph session. The Carrie Fisher session is going to proceed as planned, but they'll postpone the session with Mark when things settle down a little bit. Hey, we have some birthdays.
Lots of birthdays.
A lot of birthdays, exactly. Jimmy's actually live, and I just do want to send a shout out here to everyone that's live via TalkShoe.com. You too can be part of the ForceCast live at TalkShoe.com every Wednesday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening, if you're within the sound of our voice and you'd like to call and be part of the show live here, it's a number to call is 724-444-7444, TalkCast ID 46670. Now, I do want to say, as of right now, you do not need to be a registered member of TalkShoe to listen to the show. Or to call in, technically, but in order to this is where TalkShoe gets
really technical with me.
Well, this is where TalkShoe gets really screwy. Yes, that's true. You don't have to be a TalkShoe member to actually dial in and be on your cell phone, but there's no way to notify us that you want to talk,
right?
At this point, unless you're in the chat, in order to be in the chat, so you might as well register. It's not like it costs you anything,
right?
So register at TalkShoe.com. You can get in the chat. They have a ball every week. Or they wouldn't come back, I guess. And the chat usually goes on for a while after the show stops or ends. And so it seems like people are having a really good time. They're a great community of folks. You can also catch up with all of them at our forums at rebelscum.com. But again, that number to call, 724-444-7444. So the first one up is happy birthday, Amy Allen, the beautiful Amy Allen.
The beautiful Amy Allen in shreds.
Our favorite part of C4, and she is quite the scrumptrolescent woman.
She is. She's a very lovely girl, and of course, everyone knows Amy Allen as Ayla Sakura, and she is celebrating her 31st birthday today as we're taping the show. So happy birthday to Amy Allen, Ayla Sakura. Also celebrating a birthday, Angus McInnes. He will be 60. This coming Saturday, he was the Y-Wing pilot, gold leader, Dutch Vander from A New Hope. And if you don't remember him...
This is gold leader. We're starting our attack run.
That was pretty much it for him. So
that's the last words he ever muttered.
But anyway, so happy birthday to Angus McInnes. Now, last week we put the call out for all of you wonderful listeners out there saying, hey, if you got a birthday coming up, send us a note, and we'll do our best to give you our birthday wishes. So Thomas Ecker, Nathan Piling, Terrence Garris, and our own Chris Holika, who's a staffer at TFN and Rebel Scum, happy birthday. Thomas is celebrating a birthday on the 20th, or did celebrate. What day is today?
Today is the 24th.
So
today is actually belated. Nate's actual day. Birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday, Nate.
Yes.
And happy birthday, Terrence. Well, technically, Terrence cheated.
Yeah, well, he's ahead of the game, but, you know, it's next week, but what are you going to do?
Yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
That's true.
We didn't put any parameters on when we were going to actually announce it, because it's for this week's show to give it.
Was on the bubble.
Yeah, that's right.
So don't think you're going to get, you know, another mention there, Terrence.
Right.
And Chris Holika is also on October 31st, so... Happy birthday to all of you. And
salute to everyone out there.
Right. And now, this isn't technically a birthday, but it's a fairly important date. And Pete, I know you're awfully sympathetic to what Matt is going to be going through here in a few days.
Yes.
So, happy wedding, Matt.
Yes.
And I understand that Matt's having a little bit of a Star Wars themed wedding, if I remember the email correctly.
He is. He's doing that. It's subtle. It's subtle, which I can completely understand because, you know, I actually am, and this is just my own side tangent, I'm actually going to do very little, if anything, Star Wars at my wedding because I feel like so many people expect it that it's almost too cliche for me.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'm just kind of a little fickle that way. But Matt is going to have, you know, he's going to have the subtle little things, the Han and Leia on the groom's cake and that kind of thing. So,
you know, I'm surprised.
Good luck to Matt and his bride-to-be.
There are a lot of people that do that with the Han and Leia on the cake. And I'm surprised that Hasbro hasn't seized this opportunity, or some Star Wars licensee hasn't seized the opportunity to actually create a Han and Leia cake topper.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be, that's just... Why do I say that? I'm leaving money on the table here. What am I doing? We'll do that ourselves. But you'd think that they would. You're paying way too much attention to the chat.
I'm way too into the chat. It's those lights and flashing and colors. I'm like a child.
Right.
Like, ooh,
it's like
sparkly.
One of those Fisher-Price things that
yeah,
lights
exactly.
up. Put it in the
crib. I have to just put it away.
All right. Leave Pete alone in the chat. I need him right now. So anyway, if you're celebrating a birthday, you can let us know. Send us an email, podcast@theforce.net. Congratulations are in order to Rob Payne. Rob Payne is a listener to the show. We met him at Celebration 4.
Mm-hmm.
He's, I think, the founding member of FET Fans. And he won the walk-on role in, of course, the upcoming highly anticipated film, Fanboys, part of the Ultimate Fanboy Contest. We had Kyle Newman on about a month ago talking about that contest, and it's great that one of our listeners has won. So that's very cool. Congratulations to Rob. We'll have the link to the winning entry on our show notes. It was actually very, very good. Rob is one of those guys that you can tell he has absolutely no pretensions at all. what you see is what you get with this guy. And I love fans that are just real like Rob. And I emailed Kyle right away and said, great choice. And he goes, yeah, Rob's the best. He says he's really looking forward to working with him. So, and he's going to blend in beautifully into this
film. Yes. He is, you know, he'll do well. So, congratulations, Rob. That's great.
And at the end of the video clip, he's got a copy of The Hollow, and I'm kind of thinking that maybe that's
anything to put you over the top, man. that is not cheating in any way, Rob. I give you kudos because it couldn't have been easy to come by.
Right. Hey, speaking of cheating,
I don't know if that was directed at me, but I swear those shipments of HGH that I had sent to my house were for somebody else and not any of my players. Yes, fantasy football fans, it is time for the ForceCast Fantasy Football Update for Week 8. We are heading into the tail end of the season. You know, we're about halfway now, and everything is starting to thin its way out. I took a severe beating by Darth Fagan last week, so I'm very... upset with him. I don't think he realizes the rules that you let the host win. You know,
just Bob, like the Wookiee.
Yeah, nobody told Bob Barker that he lost at Price is Right, all right? But it's another fantastic week in the ForceCast Fantasy Football League. And again, tune in live on ESPN 8, The Ocho. And it will be broadcast in mediocre dimensions, definition everywhere. There is no HD. There isn't even standard definition. There's just mediocre.
All right.
It's like an old VHS tape.
So where do we stand? Who's winning this thing? Now?
Right now, we stand with Aluminum Falcons, owned by Luis, and the Tecmo Super Bowlers, owned by Darth Fagan, stand with the best records, and also
Mrs. Schwa
is tied. So those three are tied with 5-2 records, and then everybody else is kind of in the middle of the pack.
Right.
And then
where are the absolutely shenanigans?
The shenanigans are top of their division with a 4-3 record.
Okay. All right.
You know, just holding tight. You know, we've had a lot of injuries. We've had a lot of changes in the lineup. We've had some defensive problems, but in fact, the shenanigans are part of the game of the week. We're going up against Kitster's brother.
Oh,
so Jimmy Mack and I go head to head this week, and I plan on getting
Kitster's brother in shreds.
Yes, I plan to put him in shreds.
All right. Well, very good. There you have it. I'm assuming you were done. Were you done?
I was done.
Okay.
I could go on for days. So,
but, you know, when the music gets to that point.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, we don't want Kyle Newman to stop listening.
That's exactly.
And
there's a lot of people out there, I'm pretty sure, or don't listen to me at that point. They're like, oh, what's going on over here?
Well, I know one thing that people do want to listen for.
This is Billy D. Williams, Lando Calrissian. It's time for the quote of the week.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that if you had watched this. I caught it on the web. I'm finding that I catch more of these things on the web than I do actually on TV.
Yeah, it's very funny. I have to interject another tangent for me, but there was an interesting article in Entertainment Weekly this week about how they're completely changing the way they do ratings for TV shows because of TiVo, because of the internet. You know, initially,
podcasts.
Yeah, podcast. You know, initially Survivor didn't do all that well, but the network said wait. And they found out that almost 1 million people watched on TiVo.
Huh.
Within 7 days.
Right.
So, I mean, it's completely changing the way things are done. And
well, and the more receivers that you have in those, the more shows you're able to tape at one time.
Right.
Which was a complete impossibility. So, I mean, competition is kind of going out there. My right. wife is watching Grey's Anatomy streamed online every week because there's too much competition on Thursday nights for TV.
Exactly.
So she watches it on Monday morning, on the streaming on the web. That's not what we wanted to talk about. We wanted to talk about the Billy D clip of the week. But
yes.
Before we get to the actual Billy D clip of the week, we wanted to talk about the latest Star Wars parody as a part of Robot Chicken. This was absolutely hysterical. If you've been wondering about what happened after the doors closed on Cloud City, after our buddy Lando gave up his buddy Han to Darth Vader and Boba Fett, you needn't look any further.
It has all been explained, my friend.
Robot Chicken. And it's even better than what you might have thought. So here's a clip from Robot Chicken.
So, how we doing? Leia, how's the soup? You ever had soup this good?
Yes, on Alderaan.
Hey, princess, let it go. Oh, help me. We're a peaceful planet. You may fire when ready. Big laser. Alderaan chunks everywhere.
Anyone got a joke?
I've got one. Who's got two thumbs and betrayed his best friend? This guy! too soon?
Well, it's been a time and a half, but... lot of torturing to do.
Of course, just listening to it doesn't do it justice.
Yeah, no, yeah,
the visuals are just
and again,
so good.
Because I feel bad about not doing it before. Yeah, this is not for young viewers. You know, there is some adult material in it,
yes,
but
there is.
It's so funny. It's
like
so funny.
PG-13, I think.
Yeah, it's a little PG-13.
Yeah,
so,
right. Well, anyway, it was great to hear. I mean, this is the first time in a long time that. Billy D has reprised his role,
mm-hmm,
as Lando. Now, we had asked him, I think Jimmy Mack asked him at C4 at the press conference, would he ever consider, with all of the Star Wars projects going on, would he ever consider reprising his role? And I actually don't remember what he said. I don't think he was opposed to it. I think he said something like, you know, my phone, I always answer my phone.
You know, I'd probably do it if they came to me and asked me, but...
I think that's
nobody
exactly
asked me.
I think that's exactly what he said. So anyway, getting back to the Billy D clip of the week, which is for this week.
Who's got two thumbs and betrayed his best friend? This guy.
I love that laugh of Billy D.
Yeah, it's just.
I think we've heard it a couple
so
times
insane
on Night Shift.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh. Well, anyway, so that was one of the better ones. I mean, it doesn't get better than him being Lando once again. So very cool to see him doing that. So anyway, there's your Billy D clip of the week, complete with an introduction by the man himself. So thank you to Jimmy Mack for doing that. And thank you to Billy D, the man himself, for recording that fabulous, fabulous intro.
I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
Yeah, I'm still hacking and coughing.
It is October
crazy.
In Ohio, my friend.
Yeah. Well, I was getting better, and then all of a sudden it got cold. It started raining for, like, days. I don't want to complain for those of you out on the West Coast about all the rain that we're getting, but we're getting a lot of rain, and it's just, ugh. So,
yeah.
My, you know, all the progress
yeah,
I was making.
It throws me completely off, so.
Yeah, right. Well, you got, like, everything going on, so, I mean.
You've just got, hang like, me upside
allergies.
Down.
Yeah, that's right. You've got everything. You're like, you should be in these medical journals.
Just put me in a chamber and lock me away.
Anyway, so getting back to the news, Star Wars news, that is. This is very, very strange. This really surprised me. Yahoo Entertainment, in partnership with StarWars.com, has launched a new and shiny website featuring, quote, the world of Star Wars. The beta site, which can be accessed at StarWars.yahoo.com, allows users to create their own Star Wars character name to be addressed as well as allow the user to collect, connect, and contribute to the site. The site features popular videos, photos submitted by users, as well as Star Wars news and a link to the main StarWars.com site. Okay. Let's start with the good.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, we'll start with the good.
I completely applaud their efforts with wanting to kind of, which we've talked about on the program before, really, you know, wrap their arms around the entire Web 2.0 social aspect of the web, the community aspect. Totally applaud that. I find it peculiar that they had to go to Yahoo to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, when they relaunched the homepage of StarWars.com during the weekend at Celebration 4, I really thought, okay, this is it. I mean, this is, we're going to see it. You know, it had a, it wasn't, you know, quite so, what's, the, you know, glamorous or whatever. It had kind of a, just a real meat and potatoes look, you know. He had, I mean, there was certain, you know, I mean, it wasn't an unattractive site. That's not what I'm getting at. But it was more, it was more utility. It was more about the functionality rather than, you know, how it looked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of sites like MySpace and Facebook and Dig, they're not sites that are beautiful looking sites, but but they're great. They work very well. So when you saw that they had kind of abandoned the long download wait times of QuickTime files and went to, you know, Flash video and everything, it was really a step in the right direction, I thought. But it kind of stopped there, and you didn't hear anything. And now this pops up, and I got to say, I was telling you before the show, I mean, I kind of pride myself on being a follower of this whole, you know, movement, and I... You know me, I'm signing up for everything. I'm always emailing you saying, hey, you've got to check out this site and do this. And so I pride myself on the fact that I can jump on a site, navigate myself, you know, around pretty well. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm lost on this site. I
feel the same way. Because I spent a lot of time kind of, you know, when we saw the story, I looked at it and I looked at the initial page when I first got there, and I looked and I thought, okay, there's a lot of stuff here. I need to spend some time navigating.
Right, right.
So today at work.
Oh, it's a shame we don't work together anymore.
Exactly.
I tell you, we would have done nothing.
Absolutely
but
nothing.
This.
But I spent some time kind of cruising around on it.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I kind of, it didn't seem like anything fit together. And I was kind of, I was trying to figure out the whole time what, in fact, was going on. I mean, is this a supplement to StarWars.com? Is it a replacement for StarWars.com?
Right.
Is it something completely different? I just couldn't figure it out.
Right. I need to know sort of the context of this thing before I can fit it into my world. I mean, I have my TFN. I have my Rebel Scum. I have my StarWars.com and my Star Wars WordPress blog. And I've, you know, we've set up, you know, like on our readers, you know, to catch any Yahoo news or Google news that comes through with Star Wars in it. So I've got all those places that I check, you know, we check for news stories. I don't know where this fits in. And so if you go over to the welcome page, just reading from their site, it says, like you, we here at Yahoo Entertainment are huge fans of all things Star Wars and are always craving more. Using our latest technology, and in partnership with Lucasfilm and StarWars.com, we have created StarWars.Yahoo.com so that you can discover new Star Wars content, connect with other fans, and share your passions with the entire online galaxy. StarWars.Yahoo.com is a web experience unlike any other, a media-rich, totally personalized, ever-expanding window into the world of Star Wars. Whether online or off, on Yahoo or on the internet at large, straight from the source or from the world's most passionate fans, it's related to Star Wars. You'll find it here. Here's how the world works. And they go on to say every search term that you enter or tag that you click should return an exciting and content-rich page. So, you know, a lot of the content is all tagged. So it's sort of an aggregator mm-hmm. of content. And it's pulling from other places. Now, you can go in, you can set up your own profile, you can set up your own page. Much more, obviously, much more customizable than StarWars.com is. So I think they've got that. They certainly have that going for it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to say that we're already in here. Some pictures of us.
Yes.
Already. So thank you
very much, Shane.
Yes. Thank you, Shane, for spreading the Forcecast love on the beta site at StarWars.Yahoo.com. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not panning the site. I'm not saying it's a bad site by any means. There's a lot of great content on here. I think what the goal is here is you got stuff on YouTube, you got stuff on a lot of the fan sites, you got stuff on stars.com. This is a portal to pull it all together.
Right.
Based on tagging and that sort of thing. So I think that this is going to take some time for it to develop. This is really user generated so much of this. So as more users get on there and tag this content, start, you know, pushing this content into this portal, it's going to be a lot better. But as of right now, I'm lost.
And yeah,
well, I started feeling old. Like, has it passed me by? Is the half-life of my career over now?
Right, exactly. You know? Well, and I felt that way too, and I wasn't sure what quite to make of it. And, you know, I was going through that in my mind, and, you know, maybe this is a way for them to have some of the things that StarWars.com wants to have but maybe can't. Because they can't really connect to the fan sites, because they are, you know, they've got
a great point.
Independent
of that, right?
So now here's a place where it can be a one-stop shop, like you said, an aggregator of everything,
right?
So
it's
if they can
point,
do
Pete,
that,
really good,
then maybe that gets them that bypasses that hump that StarWars.com
right.
really was never going to be able to do because they have to maintain the official status.
Well, I mean, when you listen to the microcast with Jimmy Mack and as he interviewed Dan Madsen, which is so good, by the way, Jimmy, I know you're on the listening live tonight. And I can't say enough about Dan Madsen. It's going to sound like I'm his biggest fan, but the guy is just, I mean, for someone who created. Took two of the biggest, most important sci-fi franchises and created the fan clubs built around them. And to be as humble as he is, to be as well-spoken and intelligent and bright and, you know, as he is, it's just, it's phenomenal. I could listen to him talk all day. During that, Chris Mock brought up, you know, that Star Wars Insider, that rather than do an article, for example, on The Force Among Us, they said, hey, well, you're welcome to buy an ad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about that. I thought about that a lot over this weekend after listening to the interviews. And I thought, why is that? I think it kind of speaks to this. They have to toe the line, so to speak. You know, it's got to be official to be in there. One could argue that there have been other fan films that have been mentioned in the magazine. I remember I think Heart of an Empire was certainly mentioned. So I don't know, maybe they have favorites. I you know, that's neither here nor there, but what you're saying about this being a way to kind of marry the content, the official content with the unofficial content, it very well may be the game plan.
Yeah.
But I certainly I haven't signed up. I don't have a profile yet, but I will be doing that because I think it's a step in the right direction. I applaud their efforts. It's not there yet for me,
right?
But I'm willing to give it a try.
Well, and I think they realize that it's not there quite yet, but they want to keep working on it and make sure it's something that everybody enjoys. You know, whether it's a supplement or whether it's their main, destination. One way or the other, it's going to make something happen in the Star Wars universe.
Right. Well, you know what is there? Luke's lightsaber. As of this past Tuesday at 11:38 a.m., 11:38 a.m. You get it?
I get it.
Okay. The Space Shuttle Discovery launched the crew of seven into orbit along with Luke's original lightsaber. Now, you remember we were in Chicago?
Yes.
With Jim, and that's when the story kind of broke that they were going to be doing this. And we got a little bit of flack from some of our listeners saying that we were, you know...
We were nitpicking a little bit.
We were nitpicking. Well, but who's the more nitpicky? The fool or the fool who picks his nits? You know, we were saying that, you know, all the media was reporting this was Luke's original lightsaber. And so, Jimmy, you and I were all looking for the lightsaber from A New Hope. But it wasn't. It was his lightsaber from Return of the Jedi. I mean, everybody knows that hilt. I mean, come on. Jeez, everybody knows that. Please. So, as we kind of picked at the media saying, no, they got it wrong. Again, we got some folks saying, no, now technically that is Luke's original Jedi lightsaber. Because he's a Jedi now, right. And he wasn't in...
That was the first one that he built.
Right, so it is his original. It wasn't Anakin's. So, fine. His original Jedi lightsaber is now into outer space. So, and it did go up at 11:38 a.m. Now, I don't know if it really did. It's kind of a long process for that thing to launch. I mean, can they really get down to the minute? But still, pretty cool if it did at 11:38. So, good timing. I wonder if that was just total coincidence.
Nothing happens at NASA that's total coincidence. I mean, come on. They plan everything.
But we have a link here on our show notes. You can click to go over to the spacecenter.org, and you can leave a message to the space shuttle crew that have taken Luke's saber into space. And then when they get back, right after they have their debriefing, they're going to be handed this CD with all these messages from crazy fans. So I was thinking about going in there and saying, geez, don't you know this is not his original lightsaber, please.
I would actually be very happy if Mark called him and said, hey, don't break that. George Lucas makes me pay for those.
Oh, man. So anyway, so it's nice to know that as you know, there were no problems with the launch and Godspeed, and hope they have a safe journey home with Luke's lightsaber. I got a lot of respect for astronauts.
Yeah.
Man. You know, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I'd like to do it, but, you know, you see those movies where the people are sitting in the seat and it's looking straight up and you're just pinned to the back of the chair.
Could you do it? Could you really do it? Would you have to get paid?
At 30 years old, well, 31 now, no. Maybe when I was 22 and... young and stupid.
I could never do it.
I could probably have done it, but at 32, I keep going up in age as I keep talking about.
How old
I will
are
be
you?
45 by the end of this segment. But at 31, I've got too many aches and creaks, and I'm too far out of shape to actually do even
right,
consider
you're a
doing
mess.
That. I am. And I would actually be able to see my house flooding from space, which would be awesome.
they were showing that you can actually see these wildfires in California from space. And I was thinking to myself, I wonder if they can see Pete's house.
And as that thing
Cuyahoga
floating past.
River, yes. Right, the Ohio River. anyway, but no, I've been having this recurring nightmare about flying. That I've got somewhere to go. And you are always with me. I've been meaning to tell you this. You're always with me. So we're obviously going on some sort of force cast venture.
Yes.
And... And the whole time in my dream leading up to the flight, I have no fear. And I get onto the plane and I absolutely freak out. So I don't know what that means, but it means I'm not getting on no space shuttle. Anyway, okay. So how would you like to win a trip for two to Rancho Obi-Wan? That'd be pretty awesome, wouldn't it?
I would.
I want to see Steve throwing those figures around. Man.
And like have one tier like that Indian
yes.
in the commercial.
If you watch and they do fabulous videos over at StarWars.com of behind the scenes at Rancho Obi-Wan with Steve Sansweet. And, you know, I think we've mentioned this before on the show where you see him going through this collection. He's like, and here's one. And this is like worth $4 billion. And he just like throws it behind him, you know. He's like, that's okay. I've got six. You know, but anyway, when we had him on the program last year, and I think I brought that up to him. I'm watching it. I'm like, no, Steve. the vinyl cape Jawa, Steve.
Yes, he was kind of cavalier about it. Yeah, meh.
But you know what? That's a guy that just enjoys his collection.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
It's just about the enjoyment.
That's
the
what
thrill,
it's about. Completely.
Getting more items and having folks in. So he's going to open up Rancho Obi-Wan for an exclusive trip for two. Part of a promotion with HarperCollins.com. They are the publishers of the new book, The Star Wars Vault, written by Stephen J. Sansweet and Pete Vilmer. And we were fortunate enough to not only get a copy of the book here at, in the ForceCast studios, but this is a major announcement. So, Pete, watch the chat.
Okay, I'm watching. I had to turn it off because it was distracting. All right.
On November 14th, we will not be doing the ForceCast. Boo. Boo. But.
Apparently nobody seems to care in the chat. Sorry.
Nobody's listening, that's why. But we won't be doing the regular program. What we will be doing is we will have an interview, a live interview with Stephen Sansweet and Pete Vilmer, and they will be taking your calls live on TalkShoe. This is something that neither one of them have ever done before. They're excited about it. We're excited about it. So November 14th at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer will be taking your phone calls live. We'll be talking about the book. The book is fabulous. Talk to the people, Pete.
The book is fantastic. I can't really give you a description of what it is because it is such a hodgepodge of just great Star Wars memorabilia and paraphernalia and everything that you can think of.
Okay, that's good. No, I'm
all right. I'll see you later.
And
anything that you can think of when it comes to Star Wars. I mean, it's old copies of letterhead, and one of the things that Jason pointed out to me that I thought was just absolutely really cool was original. What do you call that?
Manuscript.
The manuscript from George Lucas, and then the sheet music from John Williams. Soundtrack and score and everything. I mean, it's absolutely
right.
And there's nothing that you can't describe it by one thing because there's so much different stuff in there, and it's actually really great.
Well, here's what's so cool about it is as Star Wars fans, we think we've seen it all, we think we've heard it all. we think we have. I mean, how many times have we heard this story about how brilliant George was that he wanted the merchandising rights, he wanted the sequel rights. I mean, all these things that are just stories, the stories of the making, the big sandstorm, all these kind of things that have sort of become just, Star Wars legend. And you think to yourself, well, here's another Star Wars book that goes in chronological order. Of course, this is very unique in that it goes from episodes 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3. So it covers the original trilogy as well as the prequels.
And everything in between.
And everything in between, exactly. But it tells the story via artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
It tells the story of Star Wars, and I don't mean the plot. I mean it's the making of the films, and so you're reading along, and a lot of it's photos, but then every page, or every other page rather, has something to pull out, to tug on, to scratch or feel or
and just
or
to
whatever.
Have some of it in your hands is amazing.
It's really incredible, and granted, I mean, there are reproductions. I mean, they would never be able to, actually put the, original pieces in here. A lot of this stuff are reproductions of things that came from Steve's private collection, things from the Lucasfilm archives that have never been seen before. Like Pete mentioned, some of the highlights for me have been seeing several pages of George's original storyline treatment for The Empire Strikes Back, which is so cool. It's like right on the notebook paper.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like it's a photograph of it. It's actually, stapled into the book or glued into the book, these loose leaf sheets of paper to make it feel as though this is what you've got. There's a great shot of 3PO, Chewie, Vader, and the Stormtrooper and R2. They're all wearing these shirts, the old t-shirts with the iron-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? You pull from behind and you
and
got the
iron-on.
Iron
yeah.
You can actually use. Now, of course, I'm a collector, so I would never do that.
Yeah, so.
But Steve says in his opening remarks here in the book, he wants you to open this book, play with this stuff, iron the stuff on, color in the drawings, and it's one of those things. It's like the art of Ralph McQuarrie. I mean, it's about that size,
mm-hmm,
as the McQuarrie book in terms of just raw size. I mean, page numbers, it's not quite as thick because this has got a lot of you know, the thickness is made up of all the materials that are inside. But it's something that I was not going to rush through this book. I was just going to, every night, I was going to go through a couple of pages and really read it and digest it. So I know we've gone on a long time about this, but I haven't been this excited about a book since The Art of Ralph McQuarrie. It is absolutely fabulous and a must-have for Star Wars fans. It's a little on the pricey side, but if you can, hey, the holidays are coming up. So check it out. And I'm sure you'll be a believer after you hear the interview with Steve and Pete. They're going to have great stories. And again, they're going to be taking your calls. So we'll probably, I think we'll have them for about an hour, and we'll be talking about the book for the first half and then taking your calls. So if you can't join us live on TalkShoe, but you want to get a message to a question to Steve or Pete, email us podcast@theforest.net and just put in the subject line Steve and Pete or something like that. Not to be confused with the other Pete, my best buddy.
Yes,
Pete.
I'm constantly really being confused by that. So.
And of course, everybody knows Steve Sansweet, and a lot of folks may not know Pete Vilmer, but Pete, super great guy, and he's the guy that put us on the official Lucasfilm holiday card list.
Yes,
which I'll always love him for. And we got to meet him finally at Celebration 4, and he's often a contributor for Star Wars Insider, writes a lot for the official website. And just a big fan.
And the Star Wars poster book.
And the Star Wars poster book, which is
which
another...
we'll have to ask him about as well.
Right.
He and Steve did that book as well, so...
That's right. They both did that, right. Which, again, that's one of those things you're like, yeah, it's Star Wars posters. I've seen them all. No, you haven't. It's incredible. And so anyway, we're really excited about that. Again, November 14th, live interview here on the ForceCast with Steve Sansweet and Pete Vilmer. It's going to be awesome. Awesome. So how about this headline? You know, it was funny, Pete, you and I both, I think we saw this on our Google Reader, you know, it showed up right at the same time. We were talking about how the media, you know, the mainstream non-Star Wars media talks about Star Wars.
And yeah.
After all the breaking news, I'm using scare quotes here, about the Star Wars TV series. What? There's a Star Wars TV series? after all that news, here's a headline from... this is a story written by Mary Beth Ellis, contributor to MSNBC.com. Headline, Can Lucas Be Trusted with the Star Wars Universe? So this is about, well, let's read a little bit about this. She says, let's back up 500 years to a long time ago in a studio far, far away. Behold Michelangelo in a bad mood. He was not feeling the love either for his former masterpiece or for his current version of Pietà, meant for his own tomb. He barged into his own studio, grabbed a hammer, and started wailing. A cadre of appalled students held him down, but not before Jesus lost a leg and the Blessed Virgin Mary suffered a wardrobe crisis. One of my readers alerted to me to this story after I published yet another article agonizing over the vastly disturbing direction of the Star Wars universe has taken since the release of the prequels and the much maligned special apostasy?
Huh? Yeah.
Jay Shepard, where are you? Edition of the original trilogy.
That could
he was
be
a missionary
word.
In Africa at the time, and he sat down amidst the social unrest, the poverty, and the rampant malaria to type very earnestly about the horrible injustice that is the insertion of Gungan celebratory footage in the last scenes of Return of the Jedi. She goes on and on and on, talking about how George can't be trusted with the saga anymore.
Well, and it stems from her hatred. I think is really the only word that can or her anger about the special editions and the additions that were made in the special editions and what that set up for the prequels to bring forward and just continue to talk about how it has gone down from there. And obviously you and I disagree with her wholeheartedly. I love the fact that she's passionate about it.
She is. And she's a fan. You can tell.
She
knows her stuff. It's not like she's making these allegations totally, you know, without base. It's her opinion. You know, we're going to respect her opinion. We've often talked on the show about how the mainstream, you know, journalists, they don't get Star Wars. They're not fans in a lot of cases, and they just write, you know, because it's the popular thing to do, which is to trash it or whatever. She certainly has a love for the characters, the original trilogy in particular. Here's where I can't help but find some agreement.
Uh-oh.
The calls will light up. Let's see. Do we have any callers yet? to check. We do, actually. We do have a caller. I don't know what he's calling about, but he might be calling, or there might be more callers after this. She says the Lucas-sanctioned Thrawn trilogy novels, published in the mid-90s and set soon after the end of Return of the Jedi, kickstarted the expanded universe in the days when all that was to be found in the way of fan merchandise was a dusty box of plastic Ewok catapults, maybe an Emperor action figure or two in the boy aisle of the Toys R Us. That's really not true. But, I mean, it
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, actually, at that time, I think the only thing that was out was, like, a Lando General Bendem. you remember the
Which
Bendems?
Which I love.
Right. The books were eagerly snatched up and at least initially made sense. Leia and Han were married and installing car seats in the Millennium Falcon. Luke was starting a Jedi Academy and Chewbacca hung around roaring every now and then. And then, as new authors ran short of options to introduce fresh danger and drama, post-original saga novels also went completely round the bend by marrying Luke to a smuggler, killing off Chewbacca, making a planet fall on him. But at least Chewie died knowing that it took an entire freaking planet to kill him, unlike Padme, who simply faded away beneath the pile of hair extensions in Revenge of the Sith, dying of essentially Ophelia-itis. She makes a point.
There is a
point
to that.
She makes a point here.
And we have talked about that before. But in the same token, it's kind of a closed-minded point. And the only
Sure, yeah, I know what you're saying.
She had already shut off that things were already going downhill. And
right,
you know,
right. She's not talking about all the really cool things
right.
that you saw in the prequels.
Right. You know, there's not a mention of that kind of thing. It's all, oh, this is horrible.
Right.
Oh, I can't believe she died that way. You know, and right, I understand right, right. that. I know there's frustrations about out there as well, and right. I feel that way. And getting back to her frustrations about the special edition, I kind of understand that. I know there's a lot of purists out there. But I don't think it takes away from the greatness of it as a movie or as a trilogy.
I totally agree.
Because if those editions were the original editions that came out, if George had been able to do everything that he wanted to do originally, and that's those are the movies that came out, we would still have the wonderment, we would still have the awe, we would still have all those emotions that go along with it. And a good friend, Mick Chilli, he has a blog over at StarWars.com, just like you do, or did at one point. after your second entry. But he put over there, and he kind of wrote in response to this article, and he had a great response to it, because they talk about kind of George changing as a man.
Uh-huh, right.
Like having
right.
some sort of life-changing event.
Right.
And he says, George didn't change as a man. You essentially have changed as a fan. You're older now. You know, things are changed. You want things to go back to the way they were. Heck, everybody wants to have that on some level in their own lives. But, you know, I feel like though the special editions get a real bad rap because, you know, those changes essentially change the movie. Well, they don't really change the movie. It's still the great, fantastic movie that we've all come to love. Everybody has an idea of what they think the movie should have gone, or, you know, stories. I mean, people have ideas about this show that they think we should go in certain directions and things like that.
Right.
But it's, right. you know, that's just, it's, you know, it's George's gig. He's going to do what he
George's
wants with it.
George's universe.
Yeah.
And we just
play in it.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And, you
exactly.
know, so we're just happy to have it. And, you know, if that's what he wanted to do with the special editions, that's great. And, you know, you kind of just have to enjoy that. I think this is taking a little bit far to, you know, essentially saying that he's crazy and he's not fit to handle the thing which right. he created.
Right. I certainly wouldn't take it that far. And, yeah, I mean, I wish that she would have tempered her argument. I mean, had I written this, I might have made some of the same points that she makes. I would like to think that I would have tempered it with the fact that there were, again, a lot of wonderful surprises and great things that you saw in the prequels that I was not expecting. And that the overall story and the overall mythology holds up very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very well. If you don't hold it accountable for every line of dialogue or every hair extension or what have you.
From a point of view.
Now, she does mention here towards the end, she says, you know, what today we have is an entirely, as she calls it, quote, earthbound Lucas. He's this grasping stranger who directed Padme to attribute Anakin's broodiness to the fact that he's, quote, under a lot of stress. You know, and again, kind of holding the films accountable for every line. I agree with you in the sense that her points are kind of diminished to me because there's a lot of I don't know. She's just kind of spewing a lot of bile. Mm. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, making a lot of good points, and she comes across as just her mind's made up, and you know, nothing you say is going to change it. I have to tell you, I mean, as much as I'll sit down and we'll rap about the prequels, and I'll talk about where I feel they went wrong and where they went right. But I have really no problem with the special editions.
No.
Other than Jabba. And it's not that I don't want Jabba there.
No.
I don't want the guy with the that looks like an acorn. But, you know, but at the same time, I kind of want him to look
costume.
Like he, or General Madine's toop. But, you know, I don't want him to. I want him to look like he did in Jedi, and you know. So I mean, I have little minor things like that. But really, was it that radical?
No.
Are you that upset that, you know? I love the fact that they put McDiarmid in it.
Mm-hmm.
In Empire. In Empire. Love that.
Yeah.
Every time I watch that, because it's, you know, I've watched the movie so many times, I always rewind that because
mm-hmm.
I want to see it again because it's that's still kind of fresh to me.
Right.
Hearing him say those lines, and I like Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi.
I do too.
There, I said it. I like Hayden Christensen at the end of Return of the Jedi. All right, we've got some calls. We might as well take them. Let's see. You are on with the Force Cast. Hello, hello. You're on with the Force Cast.
Hello.
Yes.
Okay. This is Decker, Admiral Decker.
Hello. Welcome.
This was, my comment was actually about the TV series, but...
Yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. No, that's all right. Go ahead.
You guys have said before about how you want the series to be mainly about, like, the main characters of the movies.
Okay. Go ahead.
I totally agree with that, but I'd also like to see some of the smaller characters that are, like, kind of... like high up there, like they weren't in the movies. People like Grand Admiral Thrawn, who I would like love to know what he was doing at this kind of time.
Okay. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, the point that I've made. I'm gonna because I don't think that Pete has truly just been very, very clear about how he feels about this. but here's what I'm gonna say, and I'll try to make this as quickly as I can. What I consider, I don't necessarily mean main characters. I'm not talking about Luke. I don't need to see Luke, you know, as a baby or anything like that. Two points I want to make. I need anchor characters. I need characters that put the story in context for me. To me, those characters are Darth Vader, Palpatine, Tarkin. We're talking about this the time between 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, you know, grown up with the belief that Obi-Wan is just on Tatooine. He's on Tatooine. I mean, yes, the EU tells us that he's had multiple adventures, after he maroons himself on Tatooine. But I'm talking about not necessarily main characters, but anchor characters. That's the first point I want to make. The second point I want to make is, even if we're never going to see those characters, I don't need George telling me I'm never going to see them.
Right.
That's the thing. I hate that he's like, well, you know, the Skywalker story's over, and you're never, you know, we're going to be talking about the Emperor and Darth Vader, but we're never going to see them. It's like, oh, well, thanks, George. You know, now I know you were at least I'll be tuning in every week saying, oh, you know, it's kind of like The Fugitive, you know?
There goes your teaser for next week.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, I know that I'm never going to get to see the Emperor. I know that I'm never going to get to see Vader. That's pretty much where I stand. Pete, where do you...
Well, I agree with you, and I think that it's going to be difficult to pull it off if they don't have a lot of, at least, like you said, anchor characters. And there has to be a little more than just a mention of them. You can't just say, oh, well, Darth Vader ordered us to come over here and buy you drinks or something like that. You know, I mean, it's got to be something a little bit more substantial. You know, it's got to be there's got to be that anticipation that around the next corner, Darth Vader could be there or Boba Fett could be there. You know, if it's one of those things where they're following somebody on the run, or you know, you've got to imagine that they're fresh on the tail of Han Solo. You know, so there's got to be that, at least that anticipation that that's going to happen.
I mean, just give me the floor of the Star Destroyer, the black boots, and the cape just leaving the room. I mean, just give me that just to know, wow, he was there. You know, I mean, little things like that they could do. So it's kind of like, I feel like in a way George has kind of like told me that there's no Santa Claus with the series.
Yeah. Well, I think we read all those rumors last week, and it's just, we have no idea what's going to happen at this point. Right. There's going to be a lot going on, and there's a lot that's yet to be answered, and we're probably only going to get those answers once they actually do show up. So right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was kind of a rant about it. Sorry about that.
Right. Hey, well, thanks for the question. I appreciate it. Yeah, what's up?
I had one other small comment.
Sure, please.
Last week, you were talking about the Indiana Jones Lego video game.
Right.
And yes, you already did mention that. And also, you said that something about Sean Connery giving his voice for the game.
That's correct.
But in Lego games, they don't have the voice.
Right. They don't.
We can make an exception this time. It's Sean Connery, for crying out loud.
Yeah, if Sean Connery wants to be on that game, he calls up Lego or, you know, the folks that are producing the game.
I don't care if they're made out of blocks. Let me talk for the bloody.
Who's going to tell Sean Connery no?
Exactly.
I'm not. No, that's a good point. We did talk about it, and I got to tell you guys, I mean, the news comes fast and furious sometimes, and we sometimes forget what we're talking about.
Again, I've proved that I can't even remember how old my nieces are, let alone some of the stories that we talk about. So sorry about that.
But you know what? We rely on folks like you that listen and remind us of those things and keep us in check. I mean, you guys always keep our egos in check.
That's right.
Just when we think we're getting good at this stuff, you're like, yeah, guys, you talked about that like a long time ago, and you were totally wrong about it. So, hey, man, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling. We've got other callers on the line. We want to go ahead and take the next caller. You are on with the Forcecast. Hello, hello, hello. What have we here?
Hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
When I first heard you talking about the Atlas, when it was first mentioned, I thought, hey, this is great. Then you started to go into your theories about how this could cause an inevitable implosion in the same way that the whole Star Trek universe burnt out, right?
Uh-huh. Well,
and, what bothered me is you make sense. since the Daniel Wallace interview, have you changed your mind at all? And because I'm waiting for someone to counteract your theory, because it does bother me, because it does seem to make sense.
Well, first of all, thank you. And yes, my theory is perfectly sensible. Look, this guy clearly knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy, a lot smarter than I am. Here's where I come down, and we have a lot of fun with this stuff. I mean, I am not an EU hater. I like the fact that in the Star Trek universe, I'm sorry, here we go, but in the Star Trek universe, at the time they started writing the novels, Roddenberry basically said, write all the books you want. That's great. Write the comics. That's great. Guess what? It never happened. If you don't see it on screen, you don't see it on TV, you don't see it in the movies, it never happened. It's fun to talk about. It's fun to, you know, play around with, but it never happened. Now, I'm not saying that George should have necessarily taken a stance on that. What bothers me about the EU is that when we have a certain topic that comes up on the program, like let's say when we were debating about whether or not Leia really remembered her mother Padme or her adopted mother Mrs. Smits, Mrs. Bail. There were some folks that would write to us, and they would try to answer this with EU. And it's like, well, if you don't read everything that comes out, if you don't follow all that stuff, it's kind of like, oh, so I can't debate, I can't talk, I can't, you know, have an opinion or, you know, I can't have fun with this stuff. I mean, that's what, for me, the fun of Star Wars, part of the fun of Star Wars, is just talking about all these theories and the things that you don't see and you don't hear about. And it's like, oh, well, here comes the EU to, you know, show the little white-haired man, you know, behind the Wizard of Oz. You know, I mean, it's like, it's oh, great. That's where I stand on it. I don't dislike the EU. I don't certainly don't want anyone to think that I'm, you know, questioning the credibility of the authors or anything. They're fine folks, and I know that Lucasfilm, especially lately, has done a great job in screening these people and really tightening the stories up. But I can't. The thing I can't tell you is that I still feel that we're looking at an implosion, and I don't see how we're not in within the next few years. We're not going to have a reboot of the EU in a sense.
The only thing I'll say is that when I did talk to Daniel Wallace about it, you know, the fact that you know, he says that his audience, he realizes the audience is mostly coming from the films and then going outward from those sources. So like you, he believes that obviously the films are the gospel that everything is written by. Then he's making his way out through the Clone Wars cartoon and the upcoming live action series. Then he's moving to the other sources where he's getting, where there's a lot of concentration of viewers coming in or listeners or what have you. So he knows where the bread and butter is, and I think he's done a great job of kind of following that formula when it comes to the essential guides, because he's done a lot of them.
Sure.
And he makes a good point of starting there and then going out from there, but also knowing that you can take some of that stuff for granted, that people know it, and not overwhelming you with stuff that you already know because you've seen the films 20 times. So
where do you come down on all of this?
Well, when I heard his interview, I felt a lot better because of how he responded with how he was going about it and how he was really making an effort to make everything work together. But I sort of since come up with my own solution. Just to give us a bit of backstory, I have one of the old original Star Wars dictionaries from when I was 15, from like, I don't know, 1984 or something.
Right.
And if you go in it, you'll see I've fanatically gone in and crossed out every EU entry, and at the time there were few and far between, because I was obsessed with having no EU, and I was that way up until 2 years ago, where I just decided to dive in. My solution was this. I created another canon, and it's called Sheldon Canon, and I just sort of add and delete whatever I feel like, and kind of, as I go along, create my own universe. So that's my nerdy
That's actually, I think, a really cool solution, to be honest with you, because you've got, you know, a lot of great content being produced and put out there, the novels, and you can kind of pick and choose. I know someone just said on the chat here that they've just never been able to get into the Clone Wars novels. I personally am not a big fan of the Knights of the Old Republic era. That's not anything that really turns me on. Again, I need anchor characters. I'm slow, so I need anchor characters. But I think what you're saying is pretty cool. That, hey, you know what? Just pick and choose. If you don't choose to necessarily take that as, you know, canon in your own mind, that's fine. I think that's kind of cool. I think that is certainly one way to look at it, and you don't have to be overwhelmed by all that. You read what you want to read, you believe what you want to believe, and
one of the first things that had to go was, I can't remember which book it was. I actually like the book, but there was a scene where Yoda was a baby in Ben Kenobi's arms or something like this, and they were trying to make their way out of a sewer or something like this. No, no thanks.
Well, they can't all be hits.
Right. Hey, man, thank you very much, and thanks for giving me an opportunity to clarify where I feel, you know, how I am, you know, how I feel about the EU. Thanks for being here.
I think we'll make it another 10 years.
I think. All right, man. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. If you want to get in the queue to call, you can do so. You can call us live. 724-444-7444. Yeah. Anyway, let's see. Do we have any more news? Oh, how about casinos?
Casinos.
Well, this is just kind of a quick story here, but they're talking about how, you know, the casinos used to be catered to the folks that grew up with the music of Frank Sinatra, you know, the swinging 50s and 60s Elvis, and then later Cher, the World War II generation, and older baby boomers had slots, bingo, and hearty, inexpensive buffets, mostly to themselves. But a new nightclub in Caesar's Palace. Oh, Paris Hilton, huh? And Matt Leinart. Anyway, the point here is that the slot machines and the decor is becoming pop culture-fied, I guess, mm-hmm. you could say, the themes are getting younger. You see Star Wars slot machines now, and things like that. So again, this is not for everyone out there. This isn't for the young kids. Got to be 18. What is it? 21? I don't know.
It's been so long.
I don't indulge in any of those sins.
It's been so hard, so long since I had to be ID'd for any of that stuff. I just forget about it.
But you got to be 21 to gamble, right? Or is that?
I think it's 18.
18.
Well,
to
it's probably 21 because they serve.
Who knows?
The
someone's
got to
know on the. Who knows on the chat? Who knows on the chat?
But you know, anyway, it's going to be hard to keep a kid from the. The Star Wars, you know.
Well, I'm thinking
the Star Wars slot machine.
Vegas is a big family place, so you're like, yeah, I'll take the wife and the kids, and then you know they can go by the pool, and then I'm gonna go and you know have me a good time. You're kind of taking the kids through the casino, going to the elevator to get up into your room. And he's like Darth Vader,
exactly.
Like, no, that's sinful.
Please come put your quarters in my mouth. I mean, how are you gonna resist that?
Yeah, exactly. I would be honored if you would lose all your money right now. But anyway, I thought
this
that
deal
was...
gets worse all the time.
Oh, that's what they totally need. They need the Lando blackjack,
right? Exactly.
Table. Oh man, it gets worse all the time. Oh, that's great. Well, and something else, you know, I mean, Star Wars is finding its way into all these different places, and it's so cool because Star Wars fans are now adults, and they're in positions of authority and power. How about being a designer of an automobile? The new Dodge Avenger Stormtrooper. I'm not much of a car person. I wish my brother was here. He's all into cars. But the Dodge Avengers Tuner Stormtrooper is a sophisticated sedan designed to appeal to an adult tuner with an appreciation for technical superiority, exhilarating performance, and unbridled luxury and style. The technical yet organic nature of the Stormtrooper costumes from Star Wars inspired its exit. Let's see. I read that sentence wrong. Anyway, it's based on Star Wars. It looks kind of like Stormtrooper armor in a way. It's got that sleek black and white look.
Yeah, it's a great car, but it can't shoot for anything.
And you'll probably bang your head as you get into it.
That's right.
But anyway, we'll have the links on the show notes. But it's kind of cool. So, you know, fanboys strike again, this time working for Dodge and creating something that's sort of based off of the look of a Stormtrooper. Actually, this photo here, Pete, with sort of the blue tinted windows, it kind of looks like, you know, the Marvel Comics version Stormtrooper.
Right.
With the blue highlights. Hey, big news. We were speaking of Billy D a little bit earlier. If you haven't been able to catch Night Shift, the General Hospital spinoff that's available to watch on SoapNet, fear not, DVD to the rescue. The complete first season of Night Shift is on its way to DVD, according to the folks at TV shows on DVD.com. The question was asked, hey, I'm a loyal General Hospital fan, excuse me, who doesn't have access to SoapNet. Are you going to come out with a DVD for the episodes of General Hospital Night Shift? And according to, again, this was on the ABC Hot Sheet website, which was later then republished at TV shows on DVD.com. Yes, it is already in the works. General Hospital Night Shift is coming to DVD early 2008. So thank you to WompRat99 for sending that in. That was very, very cool of you. So not only can you get the Indiana Jones Chronicles, but you can get the Further Adventures of Lando.
The Wisdom of Toussaint.
Toussaint Dubois. So that's kind of cool. Hey, we also had, we were taking calls last week, and Master Zarg called and he had some comments about Lumpy and a Tauntaun. So let's listen to that here. I think I've got this. Did we get this clip? I thought I had this clip. We got a clip?
Is there a clip? There
thought
a clip?
We had a clip. Jimmy sent this late to us.
62.
Oh, did I say 62?
You did say 62.
Okay. No? Nothing's happening.
All right.
Well, alrighty then. Pete, tell the good people something.
Well, it was basically he was talking about the
I found it.
Okay.
Yep. Here we go.
I'm I so was good actually watching the holiday special the other day, and I noticed that Lumpy's voice, whatever they used for that, sounds a lot like a Tauntaun in Empire Strikes Back.
Does it? Does it? Well, our sound guy, Jimmy Mack, he went and he pulled the clips to see. All right, now, Pete, we're going to play a little game here.
Okay.
It's probably going to be pretty obvious. You know, I was going to say, is this a Tauntaun or is this Lumpy? Okay.
Who's
gonna
more grizzled?
I'm going to play a clip and you tell me, is it Lumpy or is it a Tauntaun?
Okay.
All right. All right. I'm not going to tell you which one I'm playing
first.
I
was actually watching
That is Lumpy.
Yeah, that's Lumpy. No, that's Master Zarg. Here we go. All right. Hands like feet. All right. Is that Lumpy the Wookiee?
I'm going to go with Lumpy, but I'm going to qualify it by saying that he just got a new treat.
You're right. That is Lumpy, but I tell you what, that does sound like a Tauntaun. Here's the Tauntaun. Now, if you haven't seen the...
He also just got a new treat.
The holiday the holiday special. And you know what is great? We were talking about the Star Wars Vault book. And our good buddy Jay Shepard pointed this out on our live show at C4. That was when they were talking about the kind of launching or announcing this book. It comes with a couple of CDs of rare interviews and different audio clips, including Carrie Fisher's rendition, if you can call it that, of that song. What was that song from the holiday special?
The Life Day song.
The Life Day song. And as a matter of fact, if I can find it. I want to find this because it's worth talking about. Steve, where's the table of contents in this book? I can't make heads or tails of this. Here we go. They actually have a couple of pages from the script of the holiday special. In addition, the CD has the audio clip of her singing the song. I want to read to you the lyrics to this thing. Okay? The lyrics are here.
I think you should sing it.
I love the dialogue leading up to it. May this holiday always be a day of joy in which we reaffirm our courage, our dedication, and more than all else, our love for each other. This is the promise of the Tree of Life. We celebrate a day of peace, a day of harmony, a day of joy we all can share together. Joyously, a forced rhyme there. A day that takes us through the darkness, a day that leads us into light, a day that makes us want to celebrate the night. A day that brings the promise that one day we'll be free to live, to laugh, to dream, to grow, to touch, to love, to be.
Single tear.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is wicked good.
This is cool because, I mean, they actually have the script. It was this was the fourth draft, by the way. I'd hate to see the first one.
Like, what rhymes with seriousness?
Ridiculousness. But anyway, it's just another thing that makes this book so great to have. So if you haven't seen it, you can listen to Lumpy the Wookiee / Tauntaun. And actually, Carrie doesn't sound too much different. I think we have a clip of Carrie Fisher singing the song. Here we go. little tough to make out some of the words there, but what are you going to do? We're going to run through some collecting news here in just a second.
A fine addition to my collection.
Hey, what are you trying to push on us?
He's worth a lot to me.
Action figures each sold separately.
Well, here's our collecting news. Go to rebelscum.com and check out all the fantastic coverage that Dan Curto has posted at the site for Star Wars Fan Days. A lot of these confirmations, a lot of it is just in the form of visual confirmations of the rumor lists and some of the things that we've heard about, but we haven't actually seen photos of. To give you an example, some of the we've got photos finally of the Evolutions, the new Evolutions 3-packs. Those are back. I know that those were... I think to collectors, they were a big hit. I don't know if to the mass market if they were. I mean, these were considered the ultimate editions of these figures, a lot of them super articulated and that sort of thing. So there's several sets that are going to be released. The Sith Legacy set, which has Darth Nihilus from Knights of the Old Republic 2, Darth Bane from Jedi vs. Sith, and Darth Maul from his own comic book series. Yes, he's shirtless. No comments, please. the Jedi Legacy 3-pack with Qui-Gon, of course, from Phantom Menace, Walter Swan from Attack of the Clones, and Luke from New Jedi Order. And I love the Luke from New Jedi Order. He looks so cool.
Yes.
Because they've aged his face a little bit. He's looking like an older Mark Hamill. It's just great job on that. And then the Fett Legacy. Now, these were not able to be photographed, according to Dan Curto. They're going to be shown off in an upcoming issue of Lee's Toy Review Magazine, so it looks like they had an exclusive there. Although, you know what? I'll lay a good odds that Dan Curto actually has photos of these. He just doesn't post them. He took with the other Curto cam. But anyway, fans were able to play with them to see how cool they are and what kind of articulation they have. The set includes the Mandalorian from the Knights of the Old Republic, Jango from Attack of the Clones, and Boba Fett from Empire Strikes Back. He says that they're all well sculpted with a lot of detail, etc. So very, very cool. Those are definitely going to be three sets that I'll be picking up for sure. 2008. Wave 2, the Force Unleashed. Wave 2 of the Force Unleashed figures, yes. The first glimpse of the figures in this wave that we had back at the 2007 Toy Fair. Spotted again at C4. And of course, they were going to be released in the fall, but because of the game being pushed back, we're going to get them here in the spring. Pretty cool. It looks like, according to Dan, their figures will comprise Wave 2 for 2008. They're packaged on the same style cards in the 30th Anniversary Collection, only without coins. You got the Imperial EVO Trooper, Imperial Jump Trooper, Juno Eclipse, Darth Vader, and with battle damage, which is really, really cool. Shadow Guard, Maris Brood. She looks pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Rom Kota, and some great photographs that Dan's got of these figures. So if you weren't at the other cons and you haven't had a chance to look at these, make sure you do that. Hats off to Dan again, fabulous work. Also, 2008 Wave 1 from the Revenge of the Sith line. We've got some great photos available of the Obi-Wan Kenobi figure, the Darth Vader, which is actually Anakin. Some soft goods on those figures, some retooling, I think, there. Commander Gree, Kashyyyk Trooper, the Tri-Droid from Mustafar. I think I made the case that that should just be a pack-in. I shouldn't have to pay full price for that.
Yeah.
The 2-1-B Surgical Droid, Poe Nudo, who is my pick of that wave. He looks fantastic. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I take it back. It was the Mustafar Panning Droid that I was talking about, not the... Not the Tri-Droid. That's something else. So anyway, lots of great photos, and that just sort of is the tip of the iceberg there of things to check out at rebelscum.com. Now, Dan is on the chat, but he's not actually joining us on the phone, so we're not able to ask him any questions, I don't think. Pete?
No,
but we do have some callers in the queue.
Yes.
So you are on with the Forcecast. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, you are on with the Forcecast.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Hey, I thought someone was in front of me.
You know what? I think they were. I think they were. And I think I had a slip of the button. So if you're listening, I think it was Faylene fan number one. Make sure you get back in the queue. We'll take your call. I apologize. All right, he's back in the queue. All right.
Okay.
But we've got Master Zarg on the line. Master Zarg, did we clear up the confusion between the Tauntaun and Lumpy the Wookiee?
Oh, sure. That's fine.
What can I do? What can we do for you?
Well, I was going to mention the Robot Chicken episode, but you kind of trumped me on that.
Sorry.
I do want to mention on Drawn Together again. This time, it wasn't Star Wars, but they did a huge homage to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. The entire second half of the show was a complete ripoff of that.
I'm sure it was, of course,
Ling Ling parodying Short Round and the kids in the mine.
I'm sure it was all done in very good taste as well.
Well, it was about the evil serial empire and the little kids in Africa were mining the cereal mine.
The cereal mine. That's pretty good. Well, that's, we didn't have an Indiana Jones update, Master Zarg, so that's good. That kind of satisfies that. That's very cool. That's a filthy show. I can't believe you watch such a thing.
It's funny.
It's
yeah. I was gonna say it's funny. That's really all. That's all you need to get me pulled in.
Anything else on your mind?
I do have everything. Yeah, I do wanted to add all the talk recently. I know. I think it was Pete interviewed the author that was working on the Atlas, and that reminded me of this other project I know of called the Star Wars Timeline Gold. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Pete.
Yes, I have heard of that, and it's a very extensive project, and it's
not just about everything that's ever been written.
Yeah, it's being updated on a daily basis, basically, to keep up with everything, which is great, and it's a good collaborative project.
It would absolutely give me a stroke, wouldn't it, if I saw it?
Yes, you may actually go blind.
It goes all the way back to like the origin of the galaxy and 400 billion years pre-Yavin.
Does it cover when the Millennium Falcon crash lands on Earth and Indiana Jones and Short Round find it?
Actually, it does mention that in an appendix, and I'm not kidding. There's a section of it that discusses on how the timeline might fit in with Earth, and it uses that as a reference point, even though it does state that that whole story is completely non-canon. And I was actually going to mention that as well, because I know you were talking about that last time. So all of the first 20 issues of Star Wars Tales have all been classified as non-canon, so no worries there.
All right. Well, you know, I'm very inspired by our previous caller who says, you know what, I've got my own canon. So I am now introducing J-canon. These are the things that I will accept as canon. So, all right, man. Hey, thanks a lot very much. Well, we want to jump over to Phaylene Fan because he's been so patient since we dissed him. Master Zarg, thank you very much, and I hope we were able to clear up the whole Lumpy Tauntaun thing for you.
Oh, sure.
All right, man. Thanks again for being here. All right, we've got... we'll get to you, Phaylene Fan. You're coming up next here. You're on with the Forcecast. Hello, hello.
Hi, guys. It's Eric.
Eric! Rube Goldberg!
Yeah.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing fine. What can we do for you?
Well, I had three really quick things. One, when you talk to Dan Curto next, could you ask him if they're going to make a Macquarie concept Lando, possibly with a Colt 45?
Well, Dan Curto's listening. I don't know if that's what's going to happen, Dan. If you're available to type in the chat here, do we think we're going to see a Macquarie concept Lando complete with Colt 45 accessory? I don't think so. He's probably not even going to even give that question the time of day. No, I think it's a good idea. They should have a Macquarie concept Lando. Certainly.
I'm sure something is in the works with the popularity of that whole line. I'm assuming at some point we're going to get a Macquarie concept everything. So
I don't know if those are going to continue or not. We need to find out from Dan Curto if Macquarie concept is going to continue through 2008. Macquarie concept Toussaint, according to Jedi. Oh, yes. I love that. You know, I'm not an Oracle, but I'm an action figure.
Looks like your clown could use a friend.
What else is going on, Eric?
Well, there was one thing on the forums that I don't know if you guys saw. It's the four-word thread, and I think Chris Pence posted it, and it's basically your post can only contain four words that continue a story.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That's very, very cool. I love that.
And some people were wondering if you, if, I mean, it's probably way too long now, but at some point maybe it could have its own microcast if you would just read it for the people who don't go on the forums, because it's a really funny story so far.
Well, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. That sounds like a good idea for a microcast. What would be really fun is if one of you guys would do it and record it and send it to us, and we'll definitely put it on, that's for sure. That would be great.
So the famous voice cast is outsourcing its microcast work.
Leave it to Eric to just kind of cut through the crap, you know, and just say, hey, so you want us to do your work for you? Yes. The answer is yes, we do.
And then I had just one more thing, and it was about the Halloween recording.
Oh, okay, right.
So Wednesday night, as you know.
What's that?
Yeah, I said the Wednesday night. And
right.
I was wondering if it was going to be rescheduled.
We don't know yet. It's something that I was going to talk to Pete about before the show. I'll be talking to Pete after the show. It might be rescheduled. Halloween is my second favorite holiday of the year. And my wife and I have a tradition of carving pumpkins and roasting pumpkin seeds and watching Nightmare Before Christmas and kind of kicking off the holiday season, something that we do every year on Halloween. I know it's, you know, corny and everything, but we do it, and I would hate to miss that. As much as I love you guys, I would hate to miss that. So we might reschedule for next week, but that's something Pete and I need to talk about. But we'll make an announcement for sure.
All right, sounds good.
All right. Hey, Eric, thanks a lot, buddy. You're one of our tried and true here. We appreciate it.
All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, man. Bye-bye. Next caller, you are on with the Forcecast with Jason and Pete. Hello, hello.
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's going on?
Not too much.
What's on your mind?
I got a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I'd just like to put it out there that I don't know about this four-word forum, but on the Force.net forum, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I started a Help Write a Star Wars Story, which is fan fiction, but you each post is a sentence. And so I
Put
it out there that was my idea first.
Oh, all right. So we'll give you cred. That's cool. So it's actually a Star Wars story. I think we're a bunch of nuts over there on the Forcecast forums. I don't even know if what they're writing has to do with Star Wars characters. I checked in on it, and I think there's some vague references to Star Wars, but that's cool. So you're writing fan fiction over at TFN in the forums there. That's cool.
Yep. And my second thing, I've actually got four. The last one was added because somebody said in the chat. My second one is, I was wondering, do you guys watch Kane? Because it's got Jimmy Smith in it.
I had considered it, but there was just no way. I have too much other TV that I have to watch for me to have a...
Are you proposing a Jimmy Smith's quote of the week? Are you putting him on par with the one, the only, the coolest of the cool, Billy Dee?
Well, it's not on par, but it's still pretty good.
That's cool.
It's like a double bogey.
Right. I gotcha. Very cool. No, I haven't watched it yet. But I tell you what, if one other Star Wars alum goes on the show for like some sort of a cameo or guest appearance, I'll be watching. It's not going to take much.
Okay. And then I had a question. So originally, for a long time, I was pretty certain that Celebration 5 was happening in 09.
Mm-hmm.
But then when Dan went to the Fan Days, and when Sansweet was talking, he said that they have no plans for that. Do you guys know, is there going to be Celebration 5? When's it going to be?
Well, you know, just because someone says they have no plans, I mean, you could take that a couple of different ways. I mean, you could take... Well, we don't really know what we're doing. We really don't know, you know, we don't have any events scheduled for Celebration 5 yet. I mean, I think that's kind of vague. I mean, he didn't come out and say, there will be no Celebration 5 in 2009. What he's saying is, at this, you know, we have no plans at this time. We have no plans for Celebration 5. I think they're giving themselves wiggle room. I mean, it took quite a while to get a confirmation on Celebration 4. And one of the things that we realized was that, you know, a lot of the planning of Celebration 4 was done in the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
So for them to say they don't have any plans right now for 2009 does not surprise me. But it doesn't rule out that there will be one. I believe that 2009 is going to see a number of things. I think it's going to see the saga out in 3D. It's going to see the premiere of some sort of a trailer for the live-action series that'll premiere probably in the fall of 2009. The Clone Wars will probably be starting its second season.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a celebration. I'm convinced. I mean, I'll be very surprised if not all of those things come to pass.
Okay, very cool. And my last question is, some guys from the chat, when you guys are both going to be doing a commentary for the film, an audio commentary.
We've talked about it, but is that really something you guys want to hear? Well, we've talked about it, and here's the thing. When we do it, we want to do it right, and we want to make sure that it's worth your time listening to. So I can say, yes, we're going to do it. Pete and I we've talked about it quite a bit, and so yes, we're going to do it. When? Can't say.
Well, there is okay. A lot of enthusiasm in the chat right now, so we'll definitely have to sit down and talk about it.
Right. Again. All right, man. Hey, thanks very much. Hey, thank you so much for being here. What's that?
Master Zard just said on the chat, he said, we listen to this every week.
Oh, yikes. That is the last time he gets through on a call-in.
Well, on that note, we've got another caller. Hey, man, thank you so much for being here this week.
Okay.
All right, take care.
No problem.
All right, you are on with the Forcecast with Jason and Pete. Yes, please be nice to us. What's happening?
Hi.
Hi there.
I've got a question about the Fourth Unleashed Wii game.
Okay.
I was wondering if the Wii game is going to be exactly like the PS3 and Xbox 360 game, because I read somewhere that it was being developed by the same company as the PS2 version.
I think at this point it's going to be similar. The plot line is going to certainly be the same. Everything is going to be the same in what the gameplay and what the plot line is going to be. What they're going to, what's going to be different is the graphics are certainly not going to be on the same level. You know, obviously the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 have that advantage over the Wii. But the gameplay ability is going to be improved on the Wii, and the biggest advantage on the Wii is going to be the actual lightsaber duel mode, which is going to be thrown on there, and that was one of the things that we've speculated is what caused the delay. So I think it'll be very similar, and everything will stay on the same arc as far as the story goes, but it'll be different in the gameplay, just like most games are when you go between systems and between consoles. There's a little bit of different.
Well, the Wii's doesn't have the same capabilities graphics wise as the Xbox 360 or the PS3.
Right.
So I think the Wii Saber is a way to sweeten the deal.
Yeah.
To say, okay, well, what you lack maybe in graphics, you're going to get in the super sweet controller that allows you to have this. So, I agree with Pete. I think that story-wise, I don't think they really have much of a choice. I don't think that it's going to be, and you know, and when we talked to the developers of the latest Battlefront game, Renegade Squadron.
Yes, Renegade Squadron. I was the one who misspoke and called it Rogue Squadron.
Right. Well, now you got me doubting myself. Anyway, Renegade Squadron, they're very conscious of saying, okay, here's the platform for the game, but we don't want to make it necessarily Battlefront Lite or Battlefront, you know, 2.5. Hey, it stands on its own. So I think when these developers create these games, they don't apologize for maybe the shortcomings of the platform that they're making them for. If that makes sense. So I predict that there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to end up buying a second system just to get the full experience, get the lightsaber and also get the intense graphics.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was mostly wondering about the physics engine and the AI engine.
That's probably the part where they're going to have a little bit of difficulty translating it again, only because of the capabilities of the Wii as far as the graphics and everything go. I think they'll do their best to try and get it to come as close as possible. But it takes a lot of...
That technology, I remember when we were talking about the stories when the show first started, and I remember reading very specifically that this was technology that was developed for next-gen consoles, and the Wii is not a next-gen console. It's a before-gen console.
Don't get technical with me.
But still, I think it's going to be worth shelling out the money for that lightsaber thing, and it's going to be making its debut, in the next couple days. I think wasn't it the 26th that it was making its debut? We had that story last week.
Yeah, where they were going to do the...
Over in the UK?
Yeah, they're going to do the demonstration on it, right. So...
Hope that helps. I mean, I Pete and I, we always say we are experts on nothing. So please take everything we say with a grain of mustard seed. But we try. Anything else you got going on?
Well, I was also thinking that since C4 is probably going to be spring 2009, and the 3D versions of the Star Wars movies might come out in spring 2009, I was thinking that they might premiere them at C5.
That would be great. That would be the ultimate. But if you can, I mean, can you imagine 35,000-40,000 fans trying to get into, you know, one theater? I don't think that they would be able to do that other than, yeah. I mean, they'd be able to do it from the standpoint of, all right, the convention center happens to be near this digital theater where this is possible. You buy tickets for that. It's the day before the convention starts, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's sort of its own separate event like they did in the UK. They did that here for C4 where you could do the marathon. And that's a possibility. But as far as actually having it a part of the convention, I think that would be...
It's very
tough. Logistically. Very
yeah,
tough.
There's it's logistically quite difficult. But as we've seen before, there's nothing wrong with it being the hype machine,
right?
To preview it. I mean, that could get the ball rolling for it. So, we may see previews of it. We may see something along those lines. You never know. But again, they don't have any plans for it. So
that's right. Yeah, like we don't have any plans for the Star Wars Jason and Pete commentary track. We have no plans. Yeah, we do. Anyway, hey man, thanks for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Hey, thanks for being here. Oh, let's see. Well, it looks like it's empty. The calls, the call bank is empty. So we've got a little bit of listener feedback, some viewer or well, not viewer mail, listener mail. Where am I coming up with viewer mail? What's that?
These button touching fingers.
Man, what was that? Was that the indie theme?
Yes.
Oh, this is what
why
I meant.
Why don't you hit the unthinkable for me?
Oh, I forgot. We do have one of those.
It fits in.
Yeah, does it? Okay. Wait a minute.
You can hit anything you want at this point.
It's unthinkable.
Well, and we do have an unthinkable story for the week, and this actually comes courtesy of one of our listeners, Travis from Ohio. He is a Bowling Green Falcon, just like I used to be some time ago. but he wrote in to let us know that he had ordered a copy of The Force Among Us, and because he's away at school, he had sent it to his home in Columbus. His mother opened the package when he got it, since, well, it was in her name, and was insistent on finding out if he had ordered drugs over the internet, referring to the Tunisian sand that came with the DVD. So way to go, Chris. You're getting kids in trouble all over the country.
Great story.
And it's so funny because...
Do you see this, Mom?
Oh, I could totally see it. And Travis said he and his sister got a real kick out of it, thought it was hilarious. And the only thing I could think of was the whole time was kind of visualizing it and thinking of the 80s commercial, which is probably beyond some of you. But where'd you get this? Where did you get this? I learned it by watching you, all right? That's all I can think of.
Yeah, the dad with the big creepy mustache.
Yeah, with the porn star mustache. But Travis, thank you very much for sharing that story. I thought it was hilarious.
It's not just hilarious.
It's outrageous.
And
it's unthinkable.
That a Star Wars fan would be buying mail order drugs. But relax, it's just sand from Tatooine. Can you hear him? Like, she calls him probably, you know?
Right.
She's like, bok, bok, what? What is this? And he's like, it's just sand from Tatooine, you know? Luke yeah. Skywalker.
That's the thing is for anybody who's not a Star Wars fan, you go, look, it's sand from Tunisia. You go, and what does that do to you? Does that get you high?
The Tunisian sand. Right, I've heard about that. It's big on the streets. Anyway, well, that's a great story. If you've got an unthinkable, outrageous story of the week, please let us know. Drop us a line at podcast@theforce.net. And that's a great example because it doesn't have to be something that you get off a news feed. It could be something that happens to you that's just completely...
It's outrageous.
That's it for this week for the outrageous, unthinkable clip of the week.
It's unthinkable. You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
Okay. We did get some, we always get some great feedback from our listeners. Pete, it looks like you've already got a question.
Yes.
For this week's giveaway, we have another copy. Our last copy, courtesy of the folks at LucasArts, our last copy of Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron for the PSP, PlayStation Portable. Brand new game, just came out earlier this month. The rave reviews. So it's very, very cool. It is not Battlefront Lite. It is not Battlefront 2.5. It is a fully functional Battlefront game for the PSP.
Fully operational Battlefront.
thank you. So, Pete, what's the question?
Well, and this stems out of my interview that I did with Daniel Wallace earlier this week. And for those of you who haven't listened yet, Daniel is the author of several of the essential guides and is actually a great guy, was very generous with his time about all the things, and he's very much a fan, without a doubt. So make sure you tune in. I apologize. At one point, it was actually pulling up nothing when you clicked on the file, but we got it repaired, and we're ready to go. But for those of you that did listen or may know anything about it, what was Daniel Wallace's first official reference guide for Lucasfilm? So what was the first guide that he actually authored? Make sure you call in with the answer. And if you have won in the past 30 days, you are not eligible to win. So again, what was the first essential guide that
and if you think you know
Daniel
the answer,
Wallace?
If you think you know the answer, get in the queue to call. Now, I see someone's in the queue to call, but I don't know if they got in before or after. So I'm going to read this viewer mail. You find out if they actually know the answer, Pete, and then we'll put them on the air, okay?
Okay.
All right. It's Hippie Trooper is in the queue to call. So find out from Hippie Trooper. We got an email here from Leslie Griffin, and I want to apologize to Leslie. I assumed, and you know what happens when you assume, that Leslie was a girl with that, you know, but Leslie is not just a girl's name. I had a good friend growing up named Ashley, and everybody thought that he was a girl, too. So I apologize to Leslie. Leslie says, hello, Jason and Pete, and my Talk Shoe Force family, Execute Order 66. He says, I'm emailing you to tell you guys that I took the day off work for the sole purpose of viewing The Adventures of Young Indiana Jones, Volume 1 on Disc 3. I'm on disc 3, and it's 5:20 p.m. Central Time. Sad to say, I was at a local Walmart at midnight, looked in the new release section, and guess what? No DVD. I endeavored on my never-ending quest to another Walmart, once again to be sadly disappointed. These events continued until 4 or 5 a.m. Finally, I waited on the closet Target, the closest Target to my home. When the store opened at 8 a.m., I rushed inside, and what did I find? You guessed right, Young Indiana Jones. I rushed right home with it, popped it in the DVD player at 8:30, and as I said before, I'm on Disc 3, which consisted of 2 feature-length films and 10 documentaries, and I'm only on Disc 3. Everything from art to history to ecology, these educational discs have it all. Can't wait to watch the other 9 discs. Haven't seen the show since it first aired. It's great to see them again with the bonus info and education. We love you, George Lucas. The Force is definitely with him on this one, and may the Force be with you. thumbs up from Leslie Execute Order 66 on the Indiana Jones DVDs, and I think that it's totally awesome that he played hooky. I said, you played indie hooky, and he says, I'd play Howard the Duck hooky if we got a special edition of that. So that is a true fan. So Leslie, thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. And I plan on picking that set up. It's going to be on my Christmas list. It wasn't one that I have to get it the day it comes out, because quite frankly, I don't have the time to watch. I'd have to miss a lot of work or school or whatever, in order to watch it all. So I'm thinking, get it for Christmas. I've got that week off in between Christmas and New Year's, and get a lot of Indiana Jones watching. Between that and the Bond marathon, I'll be good to go.
Again, so, one of those holiday things.
One of those holiday things. So, Pete, what do we know? Is that a real caller?
Oh, we had Hippie Trooper on the line, and they just messed up a little bit.
All right. Well, we've got someone else here on the line. I don't know if they know the answer to the trivia contest or not, but you are on with the Forcecast. Hello.
Hi there.
Hey.
I'm all done.
You are on the air. Do you know the answer to the question?
Yeah, is it the Essential Guide to Planets?
That is correct. The Essential Guide to Planets. Moons and Planets.
Ding, 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 ding. We need some sort of a U1. Hey, Jimmy, if you're listening, we need a sounder for the winner of the contest. Woo! You won. No, very cool. Thank you very much. You want to make sure you send an email to podcast@theforce.net with your name and address so that we can get your prize out to you. Courtesy of LucasArts, you've won a copy of Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron for the PSP. And how do you feel? Do you have a PSP? Hello?
I think we're having problems here.
I think we're having some technical difficulties, so make sure that you
hello?
Yeah, make sure that you get a email to us, podcast@theforce.net. podcast@theforce.net. In case you didn't hear that. Anyway, so that's cool. Do we have time for another email here? Maybe we do. We're running a little long.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll hear about this one in the morning. Well, that is going to do it for us this week. Want to congratulate once again our winner of the Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron and thank LucasArts for providing those great prizes. That's our last copy, but we still have a few more prizes kicking around the prize vault here at the Forcecast. So make sure you're here with us every week on TalkShoe Live for the Forcecast, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. Not sure about next week. Pete and I are going to talk about it. We'll definitely have an announcement at theforce.net and Rebel Scum to let you know whether or not to be here next week. It's a holiday. We might take the holiday off, no?
Yes.
We're people, too.
Yes. And anyway. I also would like to say thank you for this week's secret word to Kramer, Jansen, and Darth Vagan. Again, if you want to know about...
I didn't even know.
See, I'm slipping them in there. I'm slick. If you want to know what that's all about, head over to the forums over at rebelscum.com. Even if you're not interested in the secret word, go over there. It's a great community. They have a lot of fun. So make sure you stop by. But thanks again to those people for their contributions to this week's secret word.
Want to thank Jimmy Mack, Dan Curto, Dustin Roberts, Jay Shepard, and all the rest of the folks at theforce.net and rebelscum.com. Also, thanks to Official Picks. They make this show possible. Good luck with getting those Mark Hamill autographs. Good luck to all of you out and out west. Our prayers and thoughts are with you in this time. Hopefully you make it through all this. If you want to be a part of the show, there's lots of different ways you can do it. You can be with us live, like we said, at TalkShoe on TalkShoe.com. Give us a call, 724-444-7444. Or if you just want to leave a voicemail, Pete?
You can leave it at 330-871-4TFN. That's 330-871-4TFN.
What if I just want to record an MP3 and email it?
Well, you just send it to us at podcast@theforce.net. And again, we get a lot of emails. We'd love to read them. We love to get them. We're always reading them. You may not get something back right away, but we are definitely appreciative of those. So.
Yep. I think that's it.
That pretty much wraps it up.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you being here for the ForceCast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Pete.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of TheForce.net LLC, unless otherwise indicated.